Hey everybody, welcome back to Dr. Keats Presents, and this is going to be a very special show because not only have we got an interview with Shima Zion of the IWC, of AAA, of Japan Tours, a man who's been all over the place. We'll have him on later previewing the IWC Super Indie Tournament coming up this weekend and talking all kinds of other stuff, but there's another reason why this show is going to be very special. We have got, because people were threatening to take my life if I didn't make this happen, we've got the return of Rob Naylor. After apparently 6 years away from the show, I finally got you back, Rob. It's good to have you here.
Back by what I'm told is popular demand.
Yeah, big time.
I'm glad to be on the show again. I am fucking looped, and I'm going to have a good time doing this show. Like I said, this weekend, Pittsburgh, IWC, Super Indie, like from the past, like Low Key, Homicide, CM Punk, Chris Hero, they've all been in this tournament, and I am very proud to say that I will be doing color commentary on this show as Joe Dombrowski will be calling the action. So that will be a fun weekend in Pittsburgh. Hopefully we'll hit up Kurt Angle's restaurant. And I think once you leave there, you're in worse shape than when you came in. But it's going to be dynamite. Happy to do the show. We're going to run down the fucking indie goddamn gamut and try to not leave any stone unturned.
Yeah, we do a lot of the plugging for the IWC show and talking about that later on in the interview with Shima. But I'll just say for that, everyone go to www.iwcwrestling.com and you'll get all the info you need about that upcoming show. And yeah, it's really good. And as Rob was saying, lots of big names out in the past. This year they've got a load of just really good young wrestlers. Guys like Lince Dorado, Frightmare, Shima Zion, of course, Flip Kendrick, Johnny Gargano, the list goes on.
And Mustafa Ali,
yeah. And it's a great looking lineup. The matches that have been put together and the bracketing have a lot of exciting possibilities. So yeah, we're excited for that, and Rob definitely is with his doing commentary on that. So stay tuned for the Shima Zion interview, which, not to give away that we've already done it, but we've already done it, and it is one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. So make sure, I don't know why you download this and not listen to it, but make sure you do stick around and listen to that interview, because it's incredible. Shima has some brilliant stories from his travels all over the world. And yeah, but before we get to that, this weekend I kind of only pieced together in the last couple of days, like I knew all these shows were coming up, these really big shows, but I kind of hadn't copped that they're all at the same weekend. We got PWG DDT4, we got DGUSA in Toronto and in Mississauga, which I love saying, and we've got ROH, of course, in New York City, sold out, Manhattan Center, Motor City Machine Guns versus Kings of Wrestling, and Tyler Black versus Roderick Strong for the belt. I suppose we'll start there, Rob. That's ROH has got a lot of momentum at the moment, and this is probably the most excited I've been for one of their New York cards in a good while, and yeah, there's about four or five really, really interesting, good matches on there.
Yeah, ROH is flat out kicking fucking ass right now. I am fucking furious. I took the booking to call the action at IWC before I knew that the Machine Guns were going to wrestle the Kings of Wrestling. I would have loved to have been in that building for that particular match. That match, how many years in the fucking making, in New York City, full fucking house. Come on, man.
Hey, now you know how I feel on a regular basis.
Oh, dude, that's ridiculous that I'm missing it, but I will be happy to be in Pittsburgh as well. That's going to be cool. But, yeah, unbelievable show for Ring of Honor this Saturday. I mean, awesome goddamn Kong and Sarah Del Rey, probably the woman's matchup that everyone wants to see on the independent circuit. That's going to be goddamn phenomenal. Kevin Steen and Colt Cabana based on an angle.
Talk about getting just – because I'll be honest, like, I was
– nothing for you on paper.
I was not that hyped for this feud, and I was thinking, okay, Steen turning on Generico, that's, I suppose, needed to be done sooner or later. I'm cool with that. It'll be a good feud. Then they brought Cabana and Carino into it, and I'm like, oh god, I thought about like potential tag matches, and I was like, nothing. They don't really interest me that much. And then you start seeing like the promos and stuff, And then you hear about this match they had in Chicago, which people are comparing to the Steen and Generico versus Briscoe's insane Boston Street fight from 2007. And that just, if you want to know what gets me excited, it's comparing a match to that. That will do it. And then you had, of course, Kevin Steen cutting this promo that ROH have put on YouTube, everyone needs to check out, where he's completely bloody and they do all this cool special effects, and he just cuts the mother of all promos on Colt Cabana, a money promo if ever there was one.
Yeah, man, like, honestly, Cabana's promo and Steen's promo alone had me so pumped for that match. The whole angle's been dynamite from what I've been told and from what I've seen. And you talk about just the sum is more than the whole of the part. I don't know what the fuck the saying is, but it's exactly what this situation is, I think. So, yeah, like, Pierce and Cornette, kudos, man. They're running very good episodic show-to-show stuff. Nothing's just being done to be done, you know. Not that I'm against that.
They need to sort out the audio on the fucking TV, though. That's still a big problem, because I watched the Davey Richard Eddie Edwards match, and I've talked about how, for whatever reason, I didn't really get into that match, and I'm starting to think now that probably the audio was a big part of it, because it just...
Dude, the audio on the TV, the audio on the DVD sucks, but that's why I like on the DVD.
So turn off the commentary, because now they've taken Hero off commentary, so I have no... Sorry, Dave Prez, like, I like you and all, but I have not enough to forego the audio quality, and I've turned off the commentary now that Hero's gone, and I watched the... I think I've watched two shows now like that, and it takes a bit of getting used to watching ROH without commentary, but when you watch Roderick Strong against Spanky and listen to the chops and kicks in that match, oh my god, it was crazy.
Dude, the best thing ever is watch the Bravado Brothers Kings of Wrestling match audio.
Yep.
When they pitch that motherfucker up to the lights and he comes down and Hero elbows him, it's one of my highlight moments of the year. That was almost my match of the year candidate. About 5 minutes. I've told the Bravado brother that I talked to the one time. I'm like, you were in my match of the year. He's like, really? But yeah, man, that match is fucking unbelievably good. So fun. Good matches can be wimpy matches, people. Fucking loved it. That match was so much better than the TV match, too, because the TV match had a little bit more of a subdued crowd. As you said, the audio may have had an effect.
I keep hearing that those TV taping crowds are actually really good, but
they've been from the beginning, but I think
it's across. And it's like it's a taped TV thing. Like, at the very least, you could put in some fake crowd noise if need be. I don't know.
Like, it's really weird, but whatever. I like the non-audio option. I love that literally every company, I think Dragon Gate and Evolve have that now too. Like,
yep.
I'm glad that everyone caught up to PWG, because in my opinion, that's the best way to watch wrestling. No offense to Joe Dombrowski, new Ring of Honor color commentator, and Dave Prezak, but I just really like the cleanness of a hype, raw energy from the crowd when wrestling's going on. So
yeah, and what was I gonna say? The DVDs. Yeah, I just ordered the Mississauga. I ordered the Mississauga recent show with Kenny Omega against Davey Richards, El Generico against Hero, and something else. Yeah, ROH are doing 50% off sale, so I availed of that. And I'm really looking forward to that, because yeah, I heard that was amazing, and I definitely will be watching that. Without the audio and hearing the crowds go, hearing the crowds go crazy for all those big matches, but
is that out yet, or is that a pre?
No, it's out. It's out. That and the Detroit show. It is the Detroit show the night before as well. Heard that's not the greatest show or anything, but the Mississauga show has got rave reviews, so you can pick that up now, 50% off. And so what else we got in New York? We have got
Tyler. We didn't talk about that'll be really good.
Roderick Tyler, yeah, that's they did the singles match. I think they were the last two in Survival of the Fittest, I believe. I didn't see that. It was apparently quite good.
It was incredible, dude. But thing is, it was so good then. Even though the finish got a little muffled, it was so fucking awesome then. And they've wrestled so many times since that I'm a little tired of it. But
I haven't seen a lot of the matches, so
man, they've had a million. Sense, but it's gonna be very good, and hopefully New York will put it over the top.
I actually don't think I've seen them wrestle each other yet in this kind of run, because the only match I saw them against each other on was the Triple Threat with Aries, and I hate Triple Threats. And I was watching I was watching this match about 10 minutes in. I was like, I'm so bored. I hate you fucking triple threat matches. And I just started fucking around the internet and getting distracted by other things. And like, I was paying attention to it enough to know that I wasn't liking it. But it was just... I just don't like those kind of matches. But I have definitely not seen them in a singles match against each other. So this will be fresh to me. And with the New York crowd, I'm definitely looking forward to it. We got... We mentioned Kings of Wrestling against Motor City Machine Guns. Hero has a great promo on YouTube at the moment on the Video Wire. Really long promo, but it's a really good one where he talks about the Machine Guns. And yeah, check that out. It's going to be a great match. Like, I think the only time those guys have been in the ring as teams before was a four-way in PWG, and that was just when the Machine Guns were getting started. But I think, yeah, I'm really interested.
I recently talked to Shelly, and he said he's mad motivated for this too. So you know these motherfuckers are going to come to that building and fucking burn the goddamn thing down. I'm telling you, I want to see this match. I'm not even lying. This match is probably a match I've wanted to see more than any other fucking match ever live. Like, it...
But Joe Kobashi?
Okay, maybe not Joe Kobashi, maybe not Kenta Loki, but, like, maybe not the CZW versus Ring of Honor final, but, like, this
God,
match,
I would have loved to have seen some of those matches live.
Yeah, man, they were quality. But, yeah, this is going to be hot. People, you don't even need to tell people to get to the ticket box offices because the fucking tickets I've heard are sold out except for, like, 20 tickets. So,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, maybe show up at the door. They might make some standing room only or whatever. God, yeah. I think if ever there's a show that would have done really, really well in Hammerstein, well, maybe it's too soon to start thinking back a lot. I think, yeah, that probably is too soon. I think you really need a real just flat-out turn people away show at Manhattan Center to really...
You know what I want to happen? I want Homicide to show up. I think that would be fucking insane.
It would be great. It would be great as far as that show and that moment and everything. But as far as, like, the future, I just... Like, what can you do with Homicide and ROH?
I don't know, man. He's motivated.
I suppose it's the same...
If you're going to use him, if he's still in TNA, if he shows up and, like, just attacks somebody to set up the next New York show, that's badass. But, like, I am all about Homicide now, man. Like, him and Liger's wrestle, I'm going to go see that. We're not going to talk about that on this show, but if I don't get to do another show till then, because, you know, I'm never on. Homicide and Jushin Liger, Jersey All-Pro, is on the 22nd or 23rd of this month. That's going to be hot shit. So don't sleep on that either, people. So, yeah, but I'd be all right with some Homicide being back. He's fucking great, man.
Yeah, I think with Daniels being back, I was really down. I was initially really, really down up, but now I'm like, okay, I'm going to give him a chance. Let's see. Let's see if I want to see the Chris Daniels that I watched wrestle Sanjay Dutt a couple of weeks ago from a match from 2003. If that Chris Daniels shows up in his matches like that, then, yeah, I will definitely be into it. But he needs to prove himself to me as far as being... I know people probably... I'm sure people think Chris Daniels needs to prove himself to you, you fucking retard.
Yeah, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
My
point more is just that last run ROH did nothing for me, and I just need to see that I can be really entertained by Chris Daniels in ROH again. It's funny because I say in ROH because in TNA I've always... I think Chris Daniels is like a really good TV wrestler, like TNA style. He really knows how to work TNA. Like, he's him and AJ and a couple other guys.
Maybe they'll have him back. That'd be the best
thing
for everything.
I think there's... It's not so much now. I don't really watch it that much at all anymore, but certainly back like a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, I think it very... It's hardly ever talked about, but I think there's a real TNA style as far as the wrestling, and it's really, it's guys like Joe, AJ, Daniels, Machine, Sabin, Shelley, like all Kazarian, all those guys. There's like this TNA style that's kind of like this hybrid of kind of like WWE TV kind of style and US indie style that it's really unique to itself, and I really like Daniels in that environment, and I loved those matches with AJ and Joe over the years, which was like during the time that he was having the run in ROH that I was just not caring about. But yeah, so we'll see. Who's he wrestling? He's wrestling, Eddie Edwards. Eddie Edwards this weekend.
Oh, right. Eddie Edwards Edwards. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie Edwards Edwards. Yeah, he's all right.
So who's Davey wrestling then? Davey's again. Is Davey even on this show?
Davey's on the show. No, I don't think he is.
So what's Davey up this week?
What the fuck is Davey doing, man? I don't know, man.
He's not PWG either, actually. Okay, this is going to be a U-turn on the show. We are going to go on a mission to search for what Davey Richards is doing this weekend.
What would Davey do? Not evolve. I don't know what
Davey's on DGUSA.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Wesley Richards MySpace. Maybe he has a... Maybe he has a list of his upcoming
dates. Maybe there's a meeting of the Lollipop Guild. Oh, man, what a prick I am. I'm like, yeah, the short guy making fun of the taller short guy. That's cool. But, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Davey. I'm not really too concerned about it, though.
Davey doesn't have
Rocket.
Upcoming shows. Companies, Sweet Tumbling Jesus Enterprises. Ah, Christ. St. Louis, Missouri, U.S. director. I think that's a shout-out to his PWG commentary. Doesn't appear to have anything about his upcoming dates. Maybe we should send him an email and try and book him for something this weekend and see if he's available. It's weird. It's Eddie in singles competition, but you would have thought ROH would have made an attempt to have him on such a big show for them.
Surely there's a reason.
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty much all there is to talk about ROH, I think. Really good show. Get out and see it. And we'll move on to, I think, PWG next. DDT4, Rob. I am very excited for it. My boy, Yamato, is making his PWG debut. I cannot wait to see him in PWG. I think he's going to get the greatest crowd reaction. I think it's going to be insane. I think people will be a little unfamiliar with Tozawa, but I think Tozawa is going to get over like a million fucking bucks when he just does his whole shtick, and people are going to be really into that. And he is an awesome wrestler, like as far as like outside of his like kind of shtick that he does. He's like when Tozawa just kind of erupts and fucking drop people on their head with German suplexes and stuff, it's the best. And I'm really excited to see them in the first round, the Alan Forel dream match. Yamato and Tozawa against the fucking Briscoes. That's just going to be nuts. What else have we got in the first round? You don't have the matches up there, do you? I'm trying to go off memory here.
Oh, man. I'm not that hyped for it, so,
yeah,
like, I don't know.
We're saying, but that's okay.
It's crazy, but this is the first PWG show in probably forever that just completely was like, whatever. I think that'll be all right. Like, every match, there's a wrestler I really like teaming with a wrestler that I'm kind of ho-hum on. Except the Briscoes are both good. But, I don't care about Tozawa that much. Yamato's fucking awesome. Him taking forearms from Jay Briscoe is going to be, like, a life moment. The cool thing about this is there have been shows, now that I think about it, that PWG had, like they've announced, that I haven't been hot on. But then I see them on DVD, and I fucking – they're, like, my favorite shows of all time.
Oh, yeah.
So this could very well turn into one of those.
It's the magical Reseda crowd. I think what's key to this is – our great friend, the man who was discussed in great detail on the show I did a couple of days ago, Paul London. What a hero. But as far as in the ring...
What a gut, man. Fuck.
In the ring, he has been... I suppose the nicest thing we could say is he's been hit and miss. I think Paul...
emphasis on miss.
Paul himself would agree with that. He was burying himself in the shoe junior.
I love Paul London. Paul London as a personality is probably like a Christological figure in my life that I'd like to really just live up to and be like. And
it was funny because I was... To an extent, I had that watching the shoot interview, but I was watching it and I was thinking, man, I want to be like Brian Kendrick.
Oh, yeah, him too. They're both like peas in a goddamn pod.
I want to be the real grumpy, angry kind of, but at the same time really chilled and cool. And like, so I've been going around. I had a lecture today, and it was like 8 hours long or something ridiculous. And I swear to God, I told like 15 people the sun is cold theory. I was
photons,
like,
man.
Yeah, fucking photons. I was drawing it out on paper and shit and explaining it to people. And I got some people looking at me like I was crazy. I got other people just laughing their ass off thinking it was the funniest stuff ever. It was great. I love that shooting. Yeah, it gave me so many talking points for the rest of my life.
Yeah, there's some legitimacy to that. Like, the fucking holograms in 9/11 is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
I just know that Spanky's a big apologist for the movie Zeitgeist, which I also have seen, and it's very interesting. It's obviously a propaganda film, but it's very interesting, and people should check it out if they haven't.
What's the debate?
In your mind a little bit. It's about how 9/11 was a work, basically, and how the U.S. government planted bombs in the building. Like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
The only real conspiracy stuff I've ever paid attention to from 9/11 is YouTube videos of Jesse the Body Ventura talking about it.
Thermites. Yeah, thermite paint. Yeah, maybe. But, like, this thing, obviously, you look at it, it's like Bowling for Columbine or any of those one-sided documentaries, but it left a pretty big mark on me after I watched it, and I was a little bit more critical of our government here in the United States afterwards and questioned a lot more things, but I don't know if I think 9/11 was a work. I think that's a stretch. But it looked like there were bombs going off as the building was imploding. That was weird to me, but whatever.
So back to 9/11. 9/11.
This is like fucking Excalibur. I would love to have him on the show to discuss these theories, but no, we're going to get back to the wrestling, goddammit, I swear.
Paul London, I was going to mention, was, I think, key to the, I think this show is going to be really good no matter what, but I think key to maybe putting it to the level of maybe last year's GT4 will be how Paul London performs, because I obviously think him and Generico are, well, they are facing Lost and Taylor in the first round, but I would expect them to go through, and I expect them to be have a good few matches in the tournament and be quite key to the terms as, like, the big babyface team. And if Paul London is able to, because you know Generico is going to carry the load and he'll be as outstanding as ever, but if London's able to compliment him and step up in his own right and not mess too much stuff up, then I think that could really put this over the top, because there's some really great matches to be had. I assume the Briscoes are probably going to win in their first round match, and then they that's one thing about this. They aren't announcing the brackets. The brackets are going to be a surprise on the night. So, I'm looking at this lineup here, and I've just noticed that it says GT4 first round match, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Tag Team Title Match. Oh no, ignore me. I'm an idiot. I read this. It said Matt and Nick Jackson / Max and Jeremy Buck, and I just saw Matt, Nick, Jeremy, and I was thinking, I was thinking that Malachi's name was Jeremy for a second, and I was like, are they doing some fucking Freebirds thing where Malachi's gonna, like, wrestle some of the matches? I know. I was thinking, God, that would have certainly caused quite the stir. But yeah, no, I think there's we got the Bucks facing Johnny Goodtime and Jerome LTP Robinson, and they're a big babyface team, so that's going to have, because the Bucks are, like, the biggest heels in the world in PWG, so that's going to have crazy heat. The aforementioned Briscoe's Kamikaze match, Lawson Taylor against Generico and Paul London, who have the name, excuse my horrible Spanish, Y Pelicro Abejas, and I don't know what that means, but then the final first-round match would be the Cuddlers, who a lot of people are predicting could get quite far in this, but I think they're going to be one and done, I think. Actually, maybe not, because Ryan Taylor could be there to job against Ryan Taylor and Roderick Strong. Yeah, maybe the Cuddlers do advance here and move on to the semifinals, but yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good, and I saw that As the Worm Turns, that PWG show, just got released, so I've put in a pre-order for that. That was the one with Davey and Omega, and that got crazy hype. But I think their last two shows, the two shows they've done in Reseda this year, have both got really rave reviews. Let's see, I'm opening it up here. Okay, so you got Kenny Omega versus Davey Richards, Young Bucks versus El Generico and Chuck Taylor, obviously.
Ooh,
great
shit.
Chris Hero versus Alex Shelley. Joey Ryan versus Christina Von Erie.
That's hot.
Cuddler Brothers and Christina Von Erie versus Brandon Bonham, Candice LeRae, and Joey Ryan. So I guess that's Joey and Christina worked twice. Chris Sabin versus Roderick Strong. Jesus. Brand Gats versus Scott Lawless, and opener with Johnny Goodtime and LTP versus Malachi and Ryan Taylor. That's As the Worm Turns. Yeah, that show just came out, so you can get that. And then I think still on pre-order is the show with Briscoe's Bucks, Davey Roderick, which people were saying was better than their match last year, and Generico, Paul Ludlum, and all kinds of good stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, that's DDT4. Check it out. It's going to be, if I don't really need to plug, if you're in LA, go to the show, because I think all those LA folks know about their PWG. And
yeah, they're another company like IWC and Jersey All Pro that just has their core base
that
either increases or stays at the same level. So good for those guys for
They're going to go and get hammered and have a crazy atmosphere, and it's going to be a good old time. So that's PWG, and Rob, DGUSA, I'll let you take the reins on this one, because I know you're, not that I'm not excited about this, I'm obviously pretty excited, but I know you're really, really excited, so take the reins on this, Rob, DGUSA.
DGUSA, oh my god, this weekend, another killer show. Fuck, man, their show in Toronto is the one I really know about, because you got fucking BB Hulka against Yoshino, and Yoshino, out of everybody in Dragon Gate USA, has really adapted great to working in the U.S. And
you really
have. Singles matches have been said to be absolutely awesome of late. So
I can't wait to watch him against Shingo.
Yeah, man. Him and BB Hulk is going to be dope. And then you got the fucking tag team circus shit, man. I mean, you got fucking Shingo and
Shingo,
the one tag team?
I don't know which is on which show, unfortunately.
Shingo and Yamato against Dragon Kid and somebody awesome. Seema, right?
Shingo and Yamato against Dragon Kid and Seema.
Fuck, man. So, okay, Yamato and Seema is gold. Shingo and Dragon Kid is mega awesome.
And Shingo, those two guys, Shima and Shingo, like, hardly ever cross paths in Dragon Gate. They keep that really, really rare. But when they do, it's just intense as hell. And,
yeah, that tag match is fucking unfuckable, man. What the fuck can even come
all
close?
The time.
Like,
every other tag match comes close on these weekends, because you got...
Oh, yeah, anyway, because Pac and
Doi against Jigsaw and Quack. Like,
dude,
holy
the fuck, man. That's
then you
insane.
Got Pac and... What is it Pac and Doi again? Pac and Doi against...
Pac and BB Hulk against Shingo and Yamato. Jeez. Fucking... Come the fuck on, man. Come on, man. Now, you see, I said earlier Kings of Wrestling and Machine Guns, but, like, there's a couple tag matches on these Canadians, on these Canada shows, which are equally fucking ridiculous.
Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
WrestleMania weekend 2008, you had all those tag matches. Steen Generico against Speed Muscle. Age of the Fall against New Hazard. New Hazard against Steen and Generico. Briscoes against, I think it was...
Saito and Dragon Kid.
And Saito and Dragon Kid and Briscoes against Age of the Fall. All those matches over the course of two shows. This is like that to me. And then you've got those shows. Do you remember, like, they complemented all those tags with, like, the crazy six-man... McGinnis against Aries, which is a really underrated, awesome match. And
Stevens and Roddy.
Stevens and Roddy. And this complements it with, just two out of three falls. Yoshino versus Dragon Kid. Hulk versus Yoshino. And who's...
Yeah, what's the... I don't know the Mississauga card. They've been pretty shitty about making...
I'm trying to...
I know there's that crazy Pac BB Hulk tag match. I know... I thought there was another tag match on that show that I liked.
So... Mississauga is...
Quack and Jigsaw wrestle.
Is BB versus Yoshino. Mississauga is BB versus Yoshino. Seema and Kid versus Yamato and Shingo. Doi and Pac versus Quack and Jig. Mochizuki versus Tozawa. Jimmy Jacobs versus John Moxley. Tyson Dukes versus Gran Akuma.
Yeah, the other
show in Windsor is... So which one's Toronto? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know these Canadian places. Maybe Mississauga.
No,
Toronto.
Toronto's the one you just said. Toronto has the.
So I think Toronto and Mississauga are interchangeable. I think maybe, and then the other one is in Windsor, which I guess is.
Oh no, there's no Mississauga. I'm a fucking retard. Toronto is.
They have it listed on DGUSA on DGUSA.tv. They've got live events May 7th, Windsor, Ontario. And May 8th, Mississauga, Ontario.
Oh, so that must be near Toronto. Then.
Yeah,
I think it is. I'm no longer retarded. So, yeah, the other one, Windsor.
Windsor, holy shit. I did not know this was happening. Naruki Doi versus Masaki Mochizuki.
Yeah, man, that shit's awesome. That's a good mochi, man.
Dragon Kid Yoshino 2 out of 3 falls. BB and Pac versus Yamato and Shingo. Quack and Jig versus Akuma and Tozawa. Sima versus Jimmy Jacobs, which is just a really weird but cool match. John Moxley defending the FIP World Heavyweight title against Phil Atlas. And a maximum pro wrestling tag team attraction with Tyson Dukes and John Bolin versus Brad Martin and Extremo. I like Extremo. I assume Extremo is Super Extremo, who I've seen in Chikara before, and I think he's very good.
Yeah, that show's not as good. Well, I guess you can't really say that.
I don't know. Two out of three.
That tag team match is so ridiculous. That tag team match is so ridiculous, and Doi and Mochi is going to be so good.
Yep. Oh, yeah. These two shows. So
yeah, you can't really shit on that either.
The first show is the first show. It's a DVD, and the second show the pay-per-view?
I forget. I don't really know. I have no idea, actually. But regardless, they're both really good shows. I hope fans come out, man. I know Dragon Gate's having a little bit of trouble with coming off the WrestleMania weekend, and you know tickets are tough to sell for some of these startups these days. But I hope Toronto represents. The other place might be a little more difficult.
Windsor is right beside Detroit, I think. So
no, I think Detroit is near Mississauga/Toronto.
No, I'm sure Windsor's beside Detroit because Shelley and all those trained in Windsor, just over the border. I think that's the border city is Windsor and Detroit. Because Scott D'Amore's school's in Windsor.
Okay.
Everyone, there's going to be some Canadian Detroit people that are going to be listening. They'll tell us, but yeah, the Irishman and the Pennsylvanian are a bit
unsure.
Yeah,
we don't fucking know.
Those shows are just stacked. I can't wait to see them. I really hope there's a quick turnaround in the DVDs. I'm hoping the WrestleMania weekend DVD comes out soon. I think the pay-per-view is not until the middle of this month. It feels like it's been forever since those shows. I think I've just been busy, and it feels like it's been a long time. But I'm really excited about all the stuff coming up this weekend. Fortunately, I won't see most of it for a while, but there'll be plenty of good stuff to keep me hyped until then. I just want to briefly mention. Rob, do you have anything else to say about DGUSA before I move on?
Oh no, man, shit's all good this weekend. Every show is looking awesome.
Cool. Well, if you're like me and you will have to wait a while to see all these shows, there's going to be plenty to tide you over because this week in Japan is motherfucking Golden Week. And for those who don't know what that means, it's a week-long holiday in Japan. I think it's every day is a holiday, but what it means to me is that there's fucking badass wrestling shows by the dozen almost every day. Loads of great shit has happened already. Loads of great shit still to come. All of it is either already aired or is airing soon, so it should all be surfacing. There was a big Noah show at the Budokan Hall the other day. There was a huge New Japan pay-per-view. There was an All Japan pay-per-view. Dragon Gate pay-per-view with Shingo versus Yamato, I think is in the morning, probably a couple of hours from now. DDT, I haven't read the result. Ibushi versus Daisuke Sakamoto, I can't wait to see that.
Did that happen?
Yeah, it happened today on the DDT.
Oh, man, I hope. If that match comes out, send it to me.
Oh, yeah, it'll be hard to miss when I'm freaking out over that match. Have to watch Daisuke Sakamoto versus Masa Takanashi, who's this jobber in DDT. Well, he's not really a jobber, but he's this kind of smaller guy that does comedy. He won a world title shot in some battle royal or whatever. Oh my god, it's the greatest underdog match. It's one of my favorite matches this year. It's unbelievable. Daisuke is amazing. Crowd is going nuts. You just have to see it. Fucking Sekimoto hits a chaos theory, Doug Williams style. Kills this guy. Doesn't move off the top rope onto him. It's just like, oh my god, he kills him. This little lad is fighting back with headbutts on the top rope, splits Daisuke open hard way. It's amazing. You've got to see this match. But what was I going to say?
Big Japan,
yeah. Tenryu and Nick Gage on the same show together. I saw a photo of Nick Gage in the crowd, just sworn by Japanese people, all like pumping their fists in the air. It was the most heartwarming photo I've ever seen. But
it's amazing because on Friday night when I was in Egg Harbor near Atlantic City, New Jersey at Force One wrestling show, fucking Nick Gage was in the crowd just behind the merchandise table just visiting people.
Say hi to Tenryu for me.
Yeah, really. I had no idea. Him and DJ Hyde, who was also there, were on their way to Japan.
Yeah, DJ Hyde taking the place of Trent Acid, who I believe is like back in jail or something. But yeah. Were you a big Backseat Boys fan? I was a huge Backseat Boys fan when I didn't know any better.
Yeah, man. I liked them. I still like them. I don't know. Maybe not their current matches, but like...
I remember when they won
it. I hear Trent's doing a lot of cage matches now.
Oh, God.
I used to be the biggest fucking Trent Acid fan of all time.
Yeah, me too. Man.
He could do no wrong in 2002 to 2000, like...
Three, yeah. 2003 was when I was watching them. Like, I'd get all those Oro H DVDs, and there was a gauntlet where they won the tag titles, and I was freaking out. They did their dream sequence, which is this crazy move I just was going nuts over. And I thought they were the best. Trent Acid and Homicide had, like, this crazy... fight without honor match. That
Trent
was...
and Jerry Lynn on a CZW show is an excellent fucking match as well.
Yeah, nice. I don't know how we start talking about Backstreet Boys memories, but yeah, that Big Japan show is stacked with loads of good stuff. If you like death matches, you'll like it even more than me because there's apparently some really good death matches on it. But I'll take the non-death match stuff, and there's plenty to like with that. And I think, that's the final thing of Golden Week, and maybe the thing I'm most looking forward to, is the New Japan Tag Tournament. You got guys like Valiente, Ibushi, Fergal Devitt, who hopefully can fly over because his damn volcanic ash cloud is over Ireland again. I don't know if Fergie's already... I don't know if he's already in Japan or if he still has to go, but from what I hear, it should be fine. But, him, Ibushi, Valiente, Kushida, who I'm a huge fan of now, is teaming with Ghetto, and Ibushi's teaming with Consequences Creed, which is completely random, but I think that could be good. I was always a fan of the Lethal and Creed team. I saw them at a house show once over here. And I was like, these guys are so good, and just I remember I saw them in a couple of pay-per-view matches against like the Machine Guns and stuff, and I was like, they're good. So I think him and Ibushi could be a fun team. Devin and Taguchi obviously are together. Valiente is with Masquerade Dorada or something. I thought it was Masquerade Dorada, the midget, and I got really excited, but I think it's his bigger version. And
Dude, YouTube Mascara Dorada. He is the fucking... better than Masquerade.
Oh, I'm nice. Him and Valiente are wrestling Devin and Taguchi in the first round.
What? Oh, my God. I'm going to YouTube right now, and I'm going to tell you what to YouTube and find, because there's a video I recently saw, and I was like you. I didn't even know the difference. Whoever the fist motherfucker is, dude, yeah.
Sweet. Wow, yeah, awesome.
That match is insane then.
Yeah, them against Devin and Taguchi. Creed and Ibushi are against... I forget who. Davey is. He might be already over in Japan. Davey and Tiger Mask against Kanemoto and Kanemoto and El Samurai, which is just an odd random match. But here's a match I'm looking forward to. Liger is teaming with Yoshihashi, who's a really good young lion in New Japan, and they're facing... This is a team that I hope gets far in this tournament. I figure they're winning against Liger and Yoshihashi, because Yoshihashi's obviously going to job Hayato Jr. Fujita and Taro Nohashi, who is the mini Hakushi.
Mm-hmm.
And he's awesome. Him and Hayato Jr. Fujita, if they win that, they're going to face maybe Davey and Tiger Mask in the semifinals, which Hayato against Davey could be ridiculous. And then...
Wait, Davey who?
Davey Richards. Davey
where
and...
Where is he?
He's in New Japan.
Now? Do we know where he is?
No, that's what... Were you asleep like, the last 3 minutes? I was saying that... this show's only on, like, I think on Saturday, so...
I was sending you a Mascara Dorada video, and I missed it.
That is where he is, because Saturday is the ROH show. Okay, so the mystery is solved. Davey's in Japan doing that show when ROH is on, so That explains.
Yay! Look, you won't even figure that the fuck out if I didn't mention half.
Yeah, because I was thinking, the Oreo HO was a Saturday before, and that was coming. But no, that's this Saturday too. So there's loads of stuff happening this Saturday. But yeah, it's a Davian Tiger Mask against El Samurai and Koji Kanemoto, and the winner of that faces the winner of the Hayato Fujita, Junior Fujita tag.
Dude, so, Koji Kanemoto and fucking Davey being douchebags and kicking the shit out of each other sounds like the greatest thing ever.
It's going to be class. And I'm trying to think who Ibushi and Creed are against, and I'm just going to have to have a look. But yeah, it's they're against Kushida and Ghetto, which is an insanely fun team. And if you haven't seen Kushida yet, I recommend check. He's Tajiri's like protege, and he main evented Tajiri's first few shows for Smash. And the main event of the first show is the only one I've seen. It was him against Hajime Ohara, and they just tore it up. Kushida's amazing. He's been in America for the last while in Canada, so he's gotten really good. And him and Ghetto are going to be a great team. But yeah, check that out when it surfaces early next week, I'd say. So yeah, I think, Rob, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being on the show, buddy.
Yo, man, always a pleasure. Next time we do a show, we're going to have less wrestling talk, and we'll talk about, like, fucking Iron Gym and goddamn pizza and maybe, like, fucking other random things. Maybe more 9/11 talk.
So, someone wanted your thoughts on something about Skins, like a recent season or something.
Oh, I haven't watched the recent seasons of Skins. I'm going to try to watch season 3 and 4 so I can get hit to the scene. And I love Cassie from Skins. Mwah, you're amazing. And yeah, that's about it for me. And thank you for having me on. Thank you for people who like me being on the show. And Brian Alvarez, I'm coming for you. Yeah. But no.
Yeah, we're going to make the Brian and Rob interview.
Everyone, don't push Brian to have me on the show. I'm sure it will happen eventually.
Well, I think it'll be Brian on this show more likely than you on
it. Oh, dude, you got to get Brian on this show then, man. Fans on Figure Four, push Alan and Brian. And I asked Alan earlier, do you talk to Brian? And he's like, yeah man, all
of
the
course
time.
You do know Brian posts on that board like all day long.
Dude, well, I don't have the board, but what I'm saying is I've had like one email communication with Brian, and it was over a radio show where Punk and Bix and myself were saying bad things about Brian, but I didn't say all the bad things about Brian, though, the people did. So I would gladly talk to Brian. I'd like to learn about Brian, talk about the Pacific Northwest wrestling scene, talk about how awesome fucking, what's his name, the guy that didn't wrestle in Memphis is.
Buddy Wayne.
Bud Wayne. Fuck it. Like, yeah, man, we talk about Bart Sawyer and Buddy Rose and the fucking Harris twins and fucking Billy Jack goddamn Haynes and Larry Oliver, Rip Oliver's son. I'm all about it, man.
By the way, we need to get Punk on this show.
Dude, I'd love to. I'm trying to get Punk on a different show, actually, but I would gladly try to get Punk on the show again. I don't know if he's as crazy as he was maybe a year and a half ago when he did a radio show that he might not have been authorized to do, but I will talk to the man. He's very happy right now. He's the fucking number one heel on SmackDown. He is your daddy.
Punk's
actually,
playground.
He might be. What's that?
Punk's playground.
Dude, man, it is Punk's goddamn playground.
Yep.
Punk. It's Punk's world. We're just squirrels hanging on his, you know. So, yeah.
So, yeah, everyone, stay tuned. Shima's Ion interview. It's amazing. That's all I'll say.
Later, dudes.
Peace. See ya. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Dr. Keith Presents. I am, of course, your host, Alan. And Rob Naylor is once again joining us. And we have this week, in light of the very big IWC Super 8 tournament coming up this weekend, we have a staple of that promotion, one of its biggest stars. We have the Filipino Flex Factory, Mr. Shima Zion, on the line. Shima, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that very, very sexy introduction there, Alan.
Yeah, I like the nickname. One of many nicknames, I believe. What's the one from the sweatshops of the... Tell us what that one is.
Oh, yeah. Dressed head to toe in the finest fashion from the Filipino sweatshops. I haven't used that one in a while, but I don't know. I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. For those who don't know, Shima Zion, an internationally world-traveled wrestler, he's, as opposed to kind of a lot of indie guys who you'd see maybe just like in like the promotions here in America, as I talk to you from Ireland, but there in America. Shima is he's put some miles on the clock. You've been to Mexico, you've been to DDT in Japan when you were, I believe, 19 years of age. And I suppose let's go back to the very start and kind of, how did you break into the business? Were you a big fan growing up? Kind of what made you get into wrestling?
Well, I was always a fan of it. Like, I was watching it from as long as I can remember. Actually, I did not watch wrestling for 3 years, from ages 5 to age 8, because I saw The Undertaker put the Ultimate Warrior in a coffin on the funeral parlor, and I bawled my eyes out. Like, seriously, I didn't get over that for 3 years. And around age 8, it was the Lex Express that brought me back, and Lex Luger, still to this day, my favorite wrestler. So...
Hey, I heard a rumor he was going to be at TNA last night, and it turned out, I guess.
Oh, I know, man. I was so excited, but sadly, I didn't see him on there.
So you got into wrestling pretty young. You were, I guess, what, 15, 16?
Yeah, well, basically the story is, I always knew that I wanted to become a wrestler, and if not a wrestler, I wanted to be a rock star, because I watched wrestling and MTV growing up. I didn't really watch cartoons like a lot of other kids. So I knew it was either going to be a wrestler or a rock star. And after realizing that I can't sing or play a guitar, I decided to go find a wrestling school. And I went to a Ring of Honor show in Pittsburgh, the first one in Pittsburgh. It was called Revenge of the Prophecy. And I was just freaking out because I had just moved to Pittsburgh from California. And in California, we had XPW, but my mom would never let me go see XPW because it was so violent. And so I'm 16 years old, and I finally get to see an independent wrestling show. And it's Ring of Honor, which was, you know, really hot at the time. So I was so pumped. And I hung out after the show, and I was just, like, introducing myself to wrestlers, just, you know, marking out. And I asked Colt Cabana. I was like, I want to become a wrestler. You know, how do I become a wrestler? He said, well, where are you from? And I'm like, well, I live near Pittsburgh. He said, here, talk to this guy. And it was Norm Connors. And he told me about a wrestling school that they had. So as soon as I got home, I told my mom about wrestling school and how I wanted to go. And she said, absolutely not. No way. Because, like, dude, I was so skinny. Like, when I first started, you watch any old match, I was, like, you know, a stick figure. And, my mom just did not think it was possible for someone as small as me to become a wrestler. But she let me try out, and I made it into the class, and then she was like, all right, well, if you made the tryout, then I guess you can do it. So, yeah, that was about it. Age 16, started training, and I trained at IWC school with Super Hentai and Shirley Doe for about 14 months. Before I had my first match when I was 17.
And I would assume that, like, since, as you mentioned, you're ridiculously skinny, that at that age, like, you probably just, by sort of hitting the weights and everything, at that kind of age, you, while you're still growing, you probably put on a lot of size pretty quickly.
Yeah, it took me a while. Like, I wasn't interested in working out when I started. I just did not have that interest in mind, and, I knew that it was only hurting me as far as pro wrestling goes. And by the time I was 19, like, I decided that, you know, I mean, I had dreams with wrestling, and I was never going to accomplish them being 140 pounds. So I started hitting the weights. I started taking some supplements. And I got big pretty quickly, and everybody was convinced that I was on steroids because of how quickly I just, like, grew. But I mean, I don't know why that happened. I was just eating a lot, and I was taking supplements, and it was just working for me. And everybody was convinced that I was on steroids when I was 19, but not the case at all. I guess I just got lucky. Maybe I hit a growth spurt. I don't know.
Not to derail this into, like, pure bodybuilding talk, but just out of personal interest, kind of, what kind of calories were you kind of consuming, like, when you were in 19 to put on loads of weight? Because I know it was around the age 19 that I started getting into kind of training and stuff like that, and I had to eat, like, 5,000, 6,000 calories if I wanted to put on, like, 2 pounds in a month.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the fact that I'm half Filipino, I mean, a lot of Asians have a hard time gaining weight. We have really fast metabolisms. So, I mean, it was hard for me. And I was taking weight gainers and just a lot of rice, probably like 8 bowls of rice a day.
Wow.
Weight gainers, steak, chicken for every meal. Just, yeah, that was basically it. And I was taking a supplement called Celtec, which was like a creatine kind of thing. And that kind of boosted me up, too. So, I mean, it worked out for me. And since then, you know, I just made working out just a really important part of my life.
Yeah, okay, I'm busting in here, guys.
Go for it, Rob.
I am actually here on the show, guys. Here's the deal.
Yeah, Rob Naylor, you've been suspiciously quiet this whole time.
Yeah, what the fuck? Anyway, yeah, here we go. Okay, lots of questions. Number one, I was also on Weight Gainer once upon a decade, but I did work out when I was on it. So, yeah, I was just on it, and I didn't work out. So
that's always a good plan. I love – that's like the wrestlers you hear about, like just get on the gas, but like don't train or don't take your training seriously.
They get fat.
I had the soft Road Warrior animal look. It was awesome. But, yeah, another thing, I recently – Rhett Titus had an iron gym. I saw him using it, one of those perfect pull-up things. So I bought one today, and by God, it's amazing. I'm not fucking lying this time. So, Shima, I got to ask, how many pull-ups can someone like Shima Zion do? I did 8. I'm fucking proud of it. But, like, how many pull-ups do you do?
I honestly, dude, like – I was doing pull-ups really good, like, consistently for a while. Like, I think the most I ever did at one time was, like, 20. But I can't do that anymore. Like, I took a break from, like, pull-ups. And ever since I took that break, I, like, never got it back.
Yeah, that's
like,
how it goes. It's just practice.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid.
I still do, like, 50.
When I was a kid, I hated gym class. When, like, the gym class day where they take us all in and we'd – they'd be like, hey, assholes, get on a chair and do a pull-up. And, like, I'd be just hanging there like an asshole in front of the rest of my class, and I couldn't do one. So, like, recently I found out I could do, like, 1 or 2 or 3, and now today 8, and I'm, like, fucking losing my mind over this shit. So, yeah, pull-ups is awesome. Another quick going back to the last topic. Fuck, man, that Ring of Honor Pittsburgh show was awesome. I remember Cabana, Paul London, BJ Weaver, and Homicide had a 4-way match. To this day, one of my favorite Ring of Honor matches. So it's cool that you talked to Cabana afterwards. And I remember the first Shima Zion match I had, ironically, was against Homicide, the first one I saw from
Fuck, I thought you were going to say that Chikara match.
No, that was the second, and that was the time when I thought you were, like, so young at the time, but I was like, man, everyone was so young in that match, like, Vreeze Kazakhstan, Chris Hero trainee, who I once dubbed, made El Gigante look like Dean Malenko, and, like, there was Jervis Cottonbelly, who I was like, ugh. So, like, that match I completely hated, but I loved the match at Homicide, it was completely brutal, you were,
Yeah, man.
A great underdog baby face. You took a beating and you came back, so God love you. But
the first match I saw of you was in Chikara, but it wasn't the one Rob's talking about. It was like 07 King of Trios, and it was like the first one or two Chikara DVDs I ever saw, and I was like, oh, this Shima Zion guy, he's like one of my favorite guys in Chikara, and then you never came back. And I was like,
yeah,
why haven't they brought him back?
I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, I would love to go back to Chikara. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I make appearances, you know, once in a while. Like, last time I was there, it was back in 2008. They did a show in Cleveland, and I was on, like, the AIW show in Cleveland because it was, like, a joint show, and they asked me if I wanted to be on Chikara, too. So, I mean, I'm always down to go back to Chikara if they want me. So, I don't know, man. Maybe someday.
Okay, I'm looking at your Wikipedia, and it says that you – a match with Yoshihiro Tajiri and Fast Fantastic was your initial inspiration to become a wrestler. Please tell me this is a true fact. Yes.
Dude, you guys got to see that match. If you've never seen that match, like, you have to, because it holds up, like, still to this day. Basically what happened was I had never seen Japanese wrestling. I was in, like, 8th grade, was 14 years old, and, I mean, I'd never seen Japanese wrestling. The only thing I knew about Japanese wrestling was those ads that were in, like, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, like, advertising the Japanese death matches. Like, that was the only thing I knew about it. So I assumed that in Japan, it was a bunch of crazy assholes, you know, stabbing each other and, you know, going through barbed wire. So I had a friend who said that he got some Japanese wrestling tape with a Bug Zapper death match on it. And I was like, dude, bring that shit over. Like, I have to watch it. And fucking, like, I wanted to see this tape so bad that when he finally gave it to me, we had, like, a class field trip to, like, an amusement park that day, and I fucking skipped it. I didn't even go to the amusement park. I stayed home to watch Japanese wrestling. So I'm like, fast-forwarding through these undercard matches, and then I stopped it. I saw it was, like, a tag team match, and I recognized Tajiri, because I'd seen him on ECW, and I was like, oh, shit, that's, like, Tajiri. But he's, like, younger, so I started watching. I got kind of interested. Match was fucking awesome, basically. It's Tajiri and Minoru Fujita, and I believe it's Minoru Fujita's, like, debut match. It's, like, his first match ever. And they're against Fantastic, who's, like, a luchador, and some other guy who I have no clue who he is. His name is Goku. Yeah, it was just, like, that Japanese, like, lucha hybrid style, and I'd never seen that shit before, so it just blew me away. And I watched it, and I was, I told every, I didn't even watch the Bug Zapper death match. I fucking,
oh, no.
I told everybody I knew. I was like, you guys gotta come over and watch this. And
yeah,
I just knew that if I ever became a wrestler, like, that's the style I wanted to do.
Yeah, he was one of those Victor Quiñones IWA guys, so, like, they'd have those crazy matches, but he'd be on, like, the undercards. And I remember after he was in ECW, I got one of those Best of Tajiri comps, and it was a match with him and Dr. Wagner or Aquarius, I think. He had a different name for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that match.
Fucking ridiculous. So good. Like,
yeah,
that's
dude.
One of my favorite all-time Tajiri matches. So, like, I was like, fuck, he really was awesome back in those days. And the, like you said, the hybrid lucha, pure, like, the Japanese style – fucking kick ass. And did you hear the good news? I think in DDT, Dick Goddamn Togo is going to wrestle Tajiri.
Fucking, oh, that's
ridiculous.
Sweet, dude. That
yeah,
is sweet.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I will fucking swim to Japan to see that shit. It's ridiculous.
I'll be with you. Shima, you mentioned that when you were breaking in, you mentioned the name of Norm Connors, who, for those who don't know, IWC longtime promoter. When we say long time, we're talking like early 90s, I think he got into it when he was
yeah.
really young, because he's still, I think he's only in his mid-30s or something now. And
yep.
he's a guy who, has, I've heard him on Figure 4 Daily a few times, and he's talked about how he had his job as a working in like a funeral home or something, and he's literally on call 24/7 and works ridiculous hours. And he was always trying to make time for promoting his wrestling shows, and he's just recently retired, but I've never heard anything but good things about him. So what were your experiences like with Norm, and what kind of influence was he on you?
A pretty big influence. Actually, when Norm was retiring, I sent him an email, like, thanking him for everything, and it was the first time that I really, like, thought about how much he'd really helped me, because, like, pro wrestling, man, it's so hard, especially when you're breaking in, like, just starting out, you know, trying to get your name out there. Wrestling, dude, it's like, it's fighting for your job every night, because if you don't impress the promoter, impress the fans, you know, no one's going to bring you back. And that was something I was having a hard time with, like, when I was younger, because I was getting a lot of opportunities, and I wasn't ready, or I just didn't, you know, make the best of them, but I was getting a lot of opportunities, and nobody was bringing me back, and I was just, like, I was really young and green, but I was feeling like I sucked as a wrestler, like, you know, for the longest time. And Norm was someone who was still, like, you know, giving me a chance and, like, understanding that I'm young and that, you know, with time I'd get better. And he was giving me opportunities that, you know, I never would have got anywhere else. Like, when I was 19, he booked me against AJ Styles in a singles match.
Jeez.
And, I mean, just stuff like that. Like, he booked me and Jason Gorey against the Motor City Machine Guns. He booked me with Homicide, and I hadn't even had 20 matches yet. Like, he was someone that just gave me, like, a lot of opportunities when nobody else would. And, I mean, helped me grow as a wrestler, you know, all those experiences that I had because of him. And, I mean, because of, like, IWC and stuff like that, I got a lot of other opportunities that I maybe would have never gotten. In a way, working for IWC kind of got me that shot at DDT. So there's a lot of stuff, and just, like, I look back on it now, it's like, if I never would have had IWC, I don't know, like, how far I would have gotten on the indie scene, like, so far.
When you wrestled AJ, did you get the, as I like to term it, aggressive AJ that kind of turns up on indie shows every now and then? And just, like, I remember there was a match of Pac and PWG where he just beat the shit out of him, and he does, like, his, like, huge, big, like, shoulder tackles and stuff that kills people and just lariating the fuck out of them. Was that the kind of AJ you got in that match?
No, like, I mean, he was cool, man. He was just real cool and, you know, was open to my ideas. He did hit me with a lariat that, like, knocked my lights out. That was about the only thing I remember that was pretty rough. But
I've heard stories
other than
about,
that,
man,
yeah, he was cool.
I've heard stories at Pac that, like, the night after that AJ match where he was just wandering around like a zombie, completely just lost from the beating he took. But, that sounds cool. That's cool that you got to wrestle guys like AJ, and it kind of shows, like, what kind of faith Norm had in you.
Yeah, definitely.
And you mentioned that that kind of led to getting your shot in DDT. Wikipedia said, like, that Sanshiro Takagi, owner of DDT, kind of took notice of you. So was like, how did he see the IWC show, or how did that go?
Well, Kudo was
in
America for like 3 months, like back in 2005, I guess it was. Kudo was in America. He was staying here for 3 months. He was staying in Pittsburgh because there's a guy in Japan. He has a pro wrestling store, sells like wrestling merchandise from all over the world. His name's Mackey, and a lot of pro wrestlers are really cool with Mackey. He's almost like a booking agent in a way, because he helps organize like Japan tours for a lot of like gaijin, a lot of American wrestlers. So he helps out a lot of guys, and Mackey comes to America. Well, he hasn't came in a few years, but back then he was coming to America a lot just to check out wrestling shows, basically. And he came to IWC through Shirley Doe. They knew each other. And Mackey brought Kudo. And Kudo ended up staying here for 3 months. And Kudo stayed with me a lot. Like, he lived at my house off and on throughout that time. And we were booked on a lot of the same shows together. Like, we were booked on Chikara together. So we had a lot of time to get to know each other. And despite the language barrier, like, it made it work. I mean, my mom doesn't really speak English too well, so I was used to broken English. So it wasn't bad. I could communicate with him pretty easy. And, yeah, he asked me I remember one day, like, we were just sitting around, and he asked me, he's like, do you want to go to Japan someday? And I was like, yeah, dude, but, like, look at me, man. I'm skinny, and I'm really young. And I'm like, maybe someday if I ever get good. And I never thought anything of it after that. But Kudo left, and a year later, like, I guess he had brought DDDs back to Japan with him, with like IWC and stuff like that. And my gimmick back in the day was I was like, I was a male model. I mean, that's still the gimmick. But back then, my interpretation of it was that I should be like really glamorous. So I was wearing makeup and like eyeshadow, and I had this crazy like big hair like from the 80s. And, I just had a really weird, like, you know, bizarre look. Which, of course, is perfect for DDT.
Yep.
So basically, Sanshiro Takagi saw me on, like, a DVD, and he asked Kudo, apparently this is the story I got, he asked Kudo, who is that? Kudo said, oh, that's Shima, he's my good friend. And I guess Takagi asked him if he thought I was worth bringing over, and Kudo said he's worth a shot. So, like, it was just one day I was sitting on my computer, minding my own business, when I got an IM from Mackey, who said, I think you're coming to Japan. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? Because, like, dudes, I didn't even have 50 matches under my belt. That's
God.
How young I was. I was 19, and I'd wrestled, like, 40-some matches. Because I was keeping count back then. And Mackey's like, Kudo helped you. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And they're like, yeah, but maybe small fight money. And I'm like, well, what small fight money tells me? And I'm like, that's small? Like, what the fuck? So, and then I started getting, like, messages from Shirley Doe, who's like, dude, I think you're going to Japan. And I'm like, dude, what is going on? Like, I'm freaking out over here. Like, I just, none of it seemed real at all. And then I had a plane ticket in my email, and I'm like, this is really fucking happening. Like, I'm going to Japan for 2 weeks. And like, it never hit me until I actually got there, and I had never flown out of the country before, and here I am, 19 years old, like, just out of high school, and I'm going to Japan alone. Like, my mom was so scared, and yeah, man, I was nervous as fuck in my first match, and I was jet lagged like crazy. And the first match, which of course, with my luck, was the only one that ever made it to TV. the first match, I was noticeably nervous. I didn't really fuck up anything, but I was just nervous, and it's just very noticeable. But and then I remember I got like lectured by Mackey after the match. He was like, I think next time you do more high flying. And I'm like, all right, okay. I mean, I didn't think it was a bad performance, but I knew I could have did better. And he's like, no, they think you're a high flyer. You more high flying. But like, honestly, I'd only been working heel like my entire like 40 matches. Yeah. I only worked as a heel. So I was like, man, I don't even really know how to high fly that much. The only time I tried it, Homicide, you know, didn't catch me on my dive. So, I was like, man, okay. So it was like two shows. The first show was the DDT TV taping, and it wasn't bad. Like I said, I didn't do bad. And then the next like show, which was the same day, was the Cruisers game with Makani, and they put me in a six man, and like I was so fucking tired. Like after the first match, like I went out to eat, and I ate like two bites, and I was full, and I was just so tired. And I got a Red Bull, just trying to stay awake because I don't know what time it was. It was probably like the equivalent of like 4:30 in the morning U.S. time, like whenever I had the second match. And I just like I had a ton of ideas for the second match, and I impressed, thankfully. And then like after that, the tour was pretty smooth sailing. Like I had pretty good matches the rest of the tour, and they seemed pretty happy with me. Like Takagi thanked me and told me, you know, oh, next time if there's an opportunity, yeah, definitely. And I remember, like, Kota Ibushi was really cool and said that, you know, he's like, yeah, you're good. And, like, Dick Togo had nice things to say. So, I mean, for someone that young, like, awesome compliments from, like, Kota Ibushi and Dick Togo. It's like, yeah, I was on Cloud 9. And I got to fuck a prostitute.
Oh, there you go. Icing on the fucking cake right there. I love it. Okay, bro, two things real quick. Not to shift gears from that, but two things. Number one, your glam rock look was fucking untouchable. No one's ever pulled that off in wrestling as good. You could have been the fifth member of goddamn Motley Crue with that look. Unbelievable.
That's what I was number going two, for, dude.
It certainly was, man. It's fucking crazy. Move over Mick Mars. But yeah, the number two is... Fuck, how awesome is Kudo, dude? Come on. Kudo.
He's so awesome, man. He's criminally underrated.
Agree.
Yeah, Kudo's just out of this world.
That motherfucker needs to tour the U.S. every year and wrestle all the time. He's fucking amazing. He's him and Ibushi, man. Him and Ibushi against Marufuji and Kenta from the...
Different Cup 05. Man.
That shit was awesome. I still rewatch that match. Ridiculous.
The first match I ever saw Kudo was Kudo and Makami against Kenta and somebody from the Different Cup like the year before that.
Oh, yeah.
That match was badass, too. That was the first time I ever saw Kenta or Makami or any of those fuckers, and yeah, that shit was crazy.
Yeah. You mentioned Dick Togo, and like you got to wrestle him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I wrestled him twice.
And like, is he as good as he seems? And
hell yeah, man! He just is the truth.
Did he hit you with the big right hand?
Yeah, dude, I took the big right hand. He told me I took a great bump off of it too, so that made me feel good. But like, honestly, Dick Togo and his partner at the time, Nobu Takamoribe, they really like saved my ass because like after that first match that didn't go so well, I told him I was like, yeah, I don't really get to work babyface, so I mean, they want me to do high flying, and like I don't know a lot. And like Togo and Moribe were like, oh, okay. They're like, well, listen, the rest of this tour, once we get the ring set up, they're like, we're gonna teach you lucha libre. I was like, really? So, dude, I was so pumped. Like, fucking Dick Togo and Moribe are gonna take their time to teach me, like, you know, the basics of lucha libre. And if you see any of the rest of my matches, like Naylor, like the one tag match that's on my Ashima DVD, like I was doing a lot of lucha stuff. I literally learned that like a few hours before the match.
Fuck, man. Like, I know, I loved how you were so fluid on. He's like the king of taking those quick arm drags, and like you were right there with it. So fuck, man, that's awesome. Like, talk about learning from the best. Like Dick Togo, I'm going to teach you the ropes with lucha. Awesome, man. That's nuts.
Yeah, so lucky, dude. And then Morihei, like...
He might be the best wrestler ever. Aside from, like, Eddie Guerrero, like, Dick goddamn Togo is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, man. Dude, Dick Togo is seriously, like, one of the fucking coolest guys I've ever wrestled. Hands down.
And he's on his retirement tour now.
He's going on a big retirement tour for next year.
And he says that he wants to have his last match, like, outside of Japan. And then he's retiring to Bolivia.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's moving to Bolivia.
True story.
Dude, that's so random.
I know. Very. It's like, you know, Sua from Dragon Gate and Noah? He retired to basically, like, become a hippie and travel the world. So, maybe they'll meet up. But, So yeah, that Japan tour just sounds amazing. But since then you've had many a tour in Mexico, and that's obviously a very different kind of wrestling and very different country to be in. And sort of comparisons, is there, as far as the country itself and as far as the wrestling, is there one you prefer over the other?
I like them both, honestly. I would say that my heart is probably in Mexico. Out of the two, I love Japan. I just went to Japan again this past February, so it's always a good experience for me. But like, I don't know, something about Mexico and me just like clicks. I really love it there.
Lots of prostitutes.
I don't know. Well, I mean, actually, what's funny is like that the Japanese prostitute story has become like so like famous for me, like amongst my friends and people that know me. And I remember when I was in Mexico, like Norm Connors was like freaking out, sending me emails, begging me not to fuck any prostitutes in Mexico because La Parquita and Expectrito got killed by 2 60-year-old prostitutes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, man. You gotta be careful. Shit.
So, what if the promotion you've worked for mainly in Mexico is a promotion called DTU, and I don't know what it stands for, I'm sorry, but it was a fashion show, wrestling show, almost like a rock show as well, hybrid, and El Generico was a regular there, and I think maybe Jimmy Jacobs as well, am I right? I watched some of that stuff, and like big crowds at that, and just really, really good atmosphere, and I liked what I saw, and that looked like a ton of fun to work with.
Yeah, DTU is cool, man. They're doing something different in Mexico. Like, I would compare DTU to kind of like Mexican CZW. That's kind of what it's like. Because all those kids down there, like, dude, pretty much the whole roster, I would say 90% of the roster is under the age of 20.
Wow.
So you've got a ton of, like, young kids that are just watching, like, U.S. indie tapes and Japanese tapes. And, like, they don't even care about, like, traditional lucha. I mean, they do have a passion for it, but their interest is, like, a different style. So, I mean, it's different compared to, like, what you see on, like, CMLL or AAA, because these kids, like, just want to go all out and go crazy. And, I mean, sure, why not? Then they're young and they're hungry, and there's a lot of talent. And they get a lot of bad rap just because there's a few of them that are into doing death matches. But, like, I mean, that's what they're into. And if that's what they want to do, then, you know, more power to them. But there's a lot of talent in DTU, and They were doing a lot of different concept shows and everything. Like, they tried to mix a runway modeling show with a Lucha Libre show, and that was different.
Did you get on the runway?
You know what? I wanted to, but like, that was the original plan, was for all the wrestlers to be the runway models.
El Generico?
Well,
that would have been amazing.
Yeah, he was supposed to be there, but something fell through, and El Generico didn't show up. But Jimmy Jacobs was there instead, and yeah, I was just like, man, this could be so awesome, but something screwed up that day, and we didn't even get to be the runway models. They had, like, two girls and a dude, and that was their models, but,
Didn't swine flu kind of fuck that up, too, the one time?
Yeah, dude. Well, basically, it was supposed to be Chris Hero, me, Jimmy Jacobs, and El Generico. We were all supposed to go, and, like, literally the week of, like 4 days before, you know, the flight, swine flu happened. And, like, I didn't care. I was like, fuck it, I'm still going. And Hero had to, like, call me and talk me out of going. He's like, don't do this. Don't do this. I'm like, no, fuck it, I'm going. But
awesome.
That didn't happen. So like, I ended up going like a month later, and I got to do AAA and DTU, and it was pretty sweet.
Nice.
What's
okay,
else
next? AAA. We got to go into this real quick. AAA, you were around Teddy Hart. I love Teddy Hart. He's my illegitimate younger. Yeah, everyone does. Anyone that's cool does. But any Teddy Hart stories at all you'd like to share?
Well, not really, dude. Like, there's a couple. Like, I mean, I got to hang around him with my first like match in AAA because I was on the same team as him. And this is the thing that I remember about Teddy Hart was I was talking to somebody in Spanish, and he was like, Shima, you speak Spanish? I was like, yeah, man, a little bit. And then he was trying to ask me to move into his apartment with him because the fact that I spoke Spanish would be very beneficial to him when he's trying to pick girls. So I was like, yeah, dude, I would, like, seriously, if Teddy Hart would have really invited me to move in with him, I would have did it in a heartbeat. Absolutely. So I'm a little bummed that never happened.
How many times did he change clothes? Was he like that? Like, I have always heard he has a reputation for changing clothes like 18 times a day.
God.
Yeah, you know what? I've heard that stuff too. But like, I was honestly surprised, maybe a little disappointed at how down to earth Teddy Hart was when I met him. Like, there was nothing really crazy or out of the ordinary. He just seemed like a really nice guy to me. So it was cool, and me and him both have a love of hip hop. So I talked about hip hop with like Teddy and Jack for like an hour or so. So, I mean, that was pretty sweet. But yeah, he was really down to earth. I was surprised.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. I love Jack. I hope they're doing good. I guess Teddy is back up in Canada, and Jack is still going down there now. So,
oh, Teddy's down there, is he?
Teddy's not in AAA now.
No, I don't believe he is. I believe he's gone. I believe he's up in Canada now and plotting his next move. That's the latest I've heard, but who knows? I guess he could be going back in
crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I love Teddy. I hope he gets back on the indies more. I saw he was at Dragon Gate WrestleMania weekend, so we'll cross our fingers that he returns.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit this this little show you've got coming up this weekend, the IWC International Wrestling Cartel Super Indie number 9, and this is a pretty historic tournament. There have been really big names that have won it over the years, and every year the card is filled with big names, and this year no exception. With as I was saying to Rob before we start the show, there are a lot of big shows going on this weekend with a lot of talent being used all over the country. And IWC has still managed to put together a hell of a lineup for this tournament. We've got yourself, we've got Colin Delaney, Johnny Gargano, Frightmare, who's just awesome, tearing it up in Chikara, Azrael, Flip Kendrick, Lewis Linden, Prince Mustafa Ali, Lince Dorado, and others as well. And I assume you're very excited going in first round match, I believe, against Lince Dorado.
Yeah, dude, I'm pumped, man. It's going to be a good show. Like, out here in Pittsburgh, there's a little bit of, like, criticism. People are saying that Super Indie this year is not as stacked as other Super Indies from before. But I disagree, man. I think we have a pretty, you know, solid lineup.
I think it's real good.
In fact, like you said, there's a lot of shows going on because, I mean, we definitely wanted to use, like, Ring of Honor guys and such, but they have a show, so we weren't able to get them. And, I mean, I think what we got, you know, is really strong, and it's just going to be a night of amazing matches, I think.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to get guys to step up. And I think that's what you always get when you get a show like this and guys know it's a big showcase for them. They're going to work that bit harder and try to impress that bit more.
Something I like about it is I've gone to a lot of Evolve shows of late, and I really enjoy the mix they have there. Fresh, hungry, up-and-coming wrestlers, and that's exactly what really appeals to me about this tournament. I mean, the hybrid guys out of the Midwest, like Mustafa Ali, is absolutely awesome. Linden is getting better by the day. Flip Kendrick is spectacular. Johnny Gargano's out there. He's absolutely awesome. He does so many little things right. Then you have like Shima and Lince Dorado is going to be awesome.
Lince has looked so good. I don't know if he's a heel now in IWC, but since he turned heel in Chikara, oh my god, he's been tearing it up.
Yeah, he's awesome. Up, man. And Frightmare, yeah. Man. I love Frightmare. I am not Frightmare. I love him, though. I think he's absolutely awesome. He is the Wrestling Observer Rookie of the goddamn year. God bless Frightmare. I think he's fucking great. Hopefully, Shima, you go over Dorado, and then you could wrestle Frightmare. That'd be awesome.
Oh, God.
Yes, folks, I will be calling the action along with Joe this Saturday. So, like...
Okay, we're back. We had a little malfunction at the junction there, and we were plugging the super indie from IWC, and I'm not sure how far we got into it, but we definitely talked about all the participants, and we started talking about Rob Naylor.
No, we didn't. Yeah, we didn't talk about the participants. We left when I mentioned I was going to be there. But yes, the participants, man.
I think we did, but we'll run through it again. We have
Zion
versus Lince Dorado, Lewis Linden versus Frightmare, Super Hentai versus Azrael. Azrael, like a veteran of the indie scene from Trained by Homicide, making his return. We've got Justin Idol versus Colin Delaney, Flip Kendrick versus Prince Mustafa Ali. Logan Chulo, twin brother of Al Snow versus Johnny Gargano. Jimmy DeMarco, this will be for the IWC World Heavyweight title. Jimmy DeMarco versus a sharp-dressed man in John McChesney. And for non-tournament action, we've got the IWC Tag Team title, Irish Airborne versus Jason Gorey and Facade. And it's a stacked lineup. My dream final, as I mentioned when we weren't recording, Shima Zion versus Johnny Gargano. I hope that happens. I think that would tear it up. Rob, do you have a final?
I don't have a dream final. I just want to see Frightmare against Shima Zion real bad. And Frightmare is awesome. I love him. He's great. And I also really would like Gargano to make it past the first round, too. No offense to Al Snow's lookalike. But, yeah, I really am a big Gargano fan. I'm a fan of most. I love the hybrid guys. I think that Flip Kendrick and Mustafa Ali is going to be real fresh. Like, that's going to be really good. The whole show, just it's the youth movement. Everyone's going to be really jacked up to really put their best foot forward. And as we said earlier, if we said it twice, we're sorry because we might not have been recording. But what I'm saying is IWC, okay, this little nook in the wrestling independent community draws lots of big crowds. They have a built-in fan base, and they often get slept on. But let me tell you, their shows are quite enjoyable. The ones I've gone to in the last couple of years are really good. And looks like this one could be very well another one of those fine shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something, you know, we have good shows, but we have not gotten, like, that internet buzz that a lot of other promotions have. And 2010, I think, is the year that we're going to see what we can do to change that. And hopefully Super Indie delivers and, you know, people want to check out the DVD and, you know, maybe follow the promotion.
I went on Daily Motion and I saw you and Jason Gorey and I thought to myself, look at the fucking crowd. I'm like, really? Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Even, and I think I've got my finger on the pulse, but apparently fucking not, because the crowd was fucking huge. And I'm thinking Ring of Honor's having some trouble, and Dragon Gabe USA is having some issues now with some kind of stalled tickets, and fucking goddamn Evolve. But it's fucking nice to see that, like, homegrown Pittsburgh organizations and, like, Jersey All Pro, who's been around for forever, some of the older groups they're still drawing and sustaining their fan base, which is awesome.
For sure.
Yeah.
And just because I don't want this to fall into the black hole of unrecorded stuff, when we weren't recording, you did a great impression of one Mr. Low Key when we were talking about the JPW 7-way match between yourself, Prince Mustafa Ali, Flip Kendrick, loads of other guys, which is a match everyone needs to check out from JPW. And what did Low Key tell you guys before that match?
Okay, well, again, like I said, there was a lot of pressure on us that night to deliver in that 7-way, and Low Key was trying to tell us, you know, not to make the match just over the top and too ridiculous. So he told us, this is not video game wrestling. So that struck fear in all of our hearts, and then Fat Frank told us that he didn't care about any other match on the show, just this one. So we were all super before we went out there.
That's cool. I can't stress this enough. Everyone, that match and... Rob might be able to help me out here. There was a match in Hybrid maybe a couple of months before that with a lot of those same guys. And I remember there was a guy called, oh, what was his name? Johnny Cockstrong or something?
Johnny Cockstrong.
Oh, yeah.
that match ruled too. So I think for anyone who wants exposure to a lot of these guys who are making their name now, those are two matches that really put them on the scene. And, Shima, it's been real, man. It's been a great interview. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, dude, thank you for having me. It was a great time. Shared a few laughs. And, yeah, dude, thank you so much.
What have you got to plug? I'm sure you've got MySpace, Facebook, T-shirts, any of that good stuff.
Well, I have a MySpace. I don't really update it anymore, but it's myspace.com/ShimaZion. Sure, none of the people listening can spell Shima Zion. But
oh, that reminds me.
S-H.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No, yeah, it's S-H-I-I, two I's. Everybody always puts one. S-H-I-I-M-A-X-I-O-N, so myspace.com/ShimaZion. I have a lot of pictures on there from my worldly travels. And I have a least worst of, not a best of DVD, but I have a least worst of Shima Zion DVD that I'm selling on my MySpace, but apparently the PayPal link doesn't work because I'm an idiot and computer illiterate. So check that out. Feel free. It's all on my MySpace.
And
it's a good DVD, too, because I'm going to plug it because I've seen it, and there's a Dick Togo Shima match on there. There's some really unique matches that take place in what looks to be an abandoned amusement park outside. There's DTU stuff. There's a fucking killer match with the machine guns against Babyface Goddamn Fire, which is Jason Gorey and Shima himself. So, yeah, really good DVD. Check it out.
And I know, as I was going to say when you're talking about your name, that I would never spell it wrong because I know that spelling from one young Shima Nobunaga who competed in WCW. For those who don't know, that is, of course, Shima in Dragon Gate. And I assume that was that an influence on you coming up with that name?
Yeah, definitely. That name has caused me a lot of problems over the years. I came up with it when I was 16 years old. Like, I was sitting in history class and, like, dude, I just got into, like, Torimon, because I got some tape from RF Video called Ultimo Torimon. It's just like 4 hours, like all that crazy shit. And Shima was my favorite, like just blew my mind. And I found out, I did research, found out his name used to be Shima Nobunaga. And I was like, dude, that sounds more badass than Shima. So when I'm sitting there daydreaming about wanting to be a pro wrestler, I came up with Shima. And then Shima Zion, because you learn about some Chinese philosopher whose name, I can't pronounce the name, but it is spelled very similarly to Shima Zion, and I put Shima, and then whatever that Japanese or Chinese guy's last name was, and I showed it to my friend, he's like, Shima Zion, I was like, that's a Zion? He's like, yeah, it's a Zion, so I was like, cool, and then that ended up being my wrestling name, but I'm like, dudes, I came out with that when I was 16. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I thought was cool when I was 16 that I don't think is cool at 23. Like, I used to like the band Disturbed when I was 16. I don't like Disturbed anymore. So, it's just like, the names have given me tons of, like, confusion because everybody misspells it. Everybody mispronounces it. I was terrified to actually meet Shima when I actually met him because I thought he was going to be pissed at me for having the same name as him. But he just kind of like jokingly said, oh, Shima Zion. He's like, I am original Shima. And I was like, yes, you are. Absolutely.
I have to say, I love the name. It's one of those, it's got a ring to it. It sticks with you. It's not like generic-y indie name number 84. I don't know. I think it's a really good name. I saw on your Wikipedia, you once went by Shima Casanova, which I think that has a really good ring.
Yeah, that was
well.
In Mexico. That was in Mexico.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Shima Zion, imagine that's very different.
Yeah, on one of the matches I watched, the ring announcer, who it was in the DTU show, and credit to him, this ring announcer was awesome. He was singing along to Generico's music, like doing the Olé, and he was an awesome ring announcer, but God bless him, he couldn't say your name.
Yeah, I mean, that happened a lot over there, so Shima Casanova, because I was feeling like a bit of a heartthrob in Mexico.
Yeah, I saw little girls, Casanova. Teenage girls with big Shima Zion signs with hearts on them and everything. So, yeah, good job.
Yeah.
So
it's cool, man.
Rob, anything else before we let this man go?
everybody, hit up Pittsburgh this weekend. It's going to be a good time. And Shima, thank you so much for doing our show, man.
Hey, thank you for having me. And Rob Naylor, I'll see you this weekend.
All right, man, I'll be calling.
Best
look. Take care,
best
man.
Look.
All right, take care, guys. Thank you.
戦うことだけ許されて産声を上げた幼き頃から愛情を求め優しさに気づいた時ね ひとり血まみれのリング這いずり回りどうにかここまで来たさ明日さえ知れぬ